This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Hey, good to be along with you. Good to talk some sports as always on a Wednesday with Chris Ranji. What's up, buddy?
Dude, I love talking ball.
I do
and maybe
too.
A little puck.
Yep, the Blues with the 2-1 overtime loss. John Kelly, I played actually his highlight of calling the game winner for the Kings.
Yeah, we did too.
Did you? A couple
how about
of people
that?
React
how about that? Coming into town and then you get to bring the heat on an OT game winner. Sucks for us, but
good
for you.
Post a dub.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy for John. He's going to do really well, and he has done well. He's had a great career. I'm also happy for, are you ready for this?
No.
Tony Vitello, Tennessee baseball coach and the best coach in college baseball, St. Louisan, DeSmet grad, Mizzou grad, is going to be the next manager of the San Francisco Giants.
It's wild.
News
That's
is
never
breaking
happened.
Left and right.
That has never happened, has it?
Not that I'm aware of. He is the first ever to jump from college to Major League Baseball without any professional experience. I'm sure that's according to Pete Thamel of ESPN, Jeff Passan of ESPN. I should credit those who broke that out first, although we've been hearing that report for a while. They were interested, very interested in Tony. So I'll be very curious. I'd love to get him on the air and hear some of the things that went down there, because that's a big move. I mean, I'm sure that the reason this took a little while is that Tennessee said, hey, hold on a second, buddy. We're the University of Tennessee. You want some money? We got some money. We can lock this down for you. But the intrigue, the appeal of going to Major League Baseball, managing the San Francisco Giants, what a move. I mean, what an opportunity. It's a big jump, but baseball is baseball, and this guy's a leader, and they see something in him. And it'll be fascinating to watch this and how it may change the game a little bit. Perhaps he won't be the only one to make that move.
It is not unusual for a college basketball coach to jump to the NBA or for that to happen in the NFL. There are a number of examples of that. And we've seen college coaches go from being a coach or a manager in NCAA to on a staff of a major league team. You've never seen it where you're going straight from collegiate baseball to Major League Baseball straight to manager. That doesn't ever happen.
And I'll add this. You mentioned it happens often in basketball and football, but are they successful?
Sometimes,
I can only think of a couple. Pete Carroll going
Saban?
From USC. No.
Well, Saban wasn't.
Wasn't.
Really, no, that's right.
You know, Pete Carroll going to the Seahawks? Yeah, absolutely. College basketball. Let's see. John Calipari. Nope. Rick Pitino. Nope. Brad Stevens.
Stevens is a good one.
From Butler to the Celtics.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But there haven't been many. It is not easy to do. So this is a big jump. But boy, Tony knows the game. At one point, Mizzou, I guess, could have had this guy as their coach. And now here he goes to Tennessee, winning a national championship. And the Cardinals have a couple of his players, Tanner Franklin, Liam Doyle, Tennessee pitchers, who are going to be a big part of their future. But he is going to the West Coast to become the manager of the San Francisco Giants. That broke not long ago. Another one that one of my dear friends down the hall here, Kevin Wheeler, brought up to me, Jimmy Johnson, going from the Miami Hurricanes to the Dallas Cowboys. And I said, hey, how about Barry Switzer? And he was like, well, he had Jimmy's players. But that's another example of that. There have been a lot that have made the jump, but not everybody has great success. So I'm excited for Tony. I think this is very, very cool.
So
his father, Greg, a legendary coach himself, I know this is a very happy day for the family.
Yeah, I don't think that being a baseball manager, to me, it is not, in terms of the X's, O's, the strategy, you know, that part of it, it is not as important or as impactful as having a football coach or a basketball coach. It's different. I mean, the nature of the sports are different. So from that perspective, I'm not sure it's going to matter a ton. What will matter is what he is, what he's like in the clubhouse, how other players respect or not respect him, the sort of environment he creates. And we've seen quite a few college players come through and immediately make it to the big leagues in a very short period of time. Some guys will get drafted, and it doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes it does, where a guy gets drafted and later that summer ends up in the big leagues, maybe a September call-up or something. It does happen, and it's not unusual for a collegiate player to get drafted and by the following year make it to the big leagues. So because some of these players are, you know, college, a lot of players are college athletes, maybe he brings that perspective of knowing how to deal with a college player, knowing what they're all about, knowing what their needs are. So I think there's a lot of value in that. I'm just not sure how it's going to translate to the field. But his most important job is going to be creating a good environment. And that's really the job for any manager. The most important one, in my opinion, is creating a good clubhouse environment where players feel like they can flourish under you. And that's really it.
Frank Cusumato just texted me a good one, Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
It's a good one there. Florida to the NBA. But
it just doesn't happen in baseball.
Yeah, SEC, national champion like Billy and very successful. But yeah, it doesn't. He pushed back a little bit on Patino, by the way. He's a big Patino guy, Frank is. I look, Patino is Patino. He's a great coach. There's nothing wrong with it. He was fine. I'm a Knicks fan, okay?
Oh, is that it?
Yes, I paid attention. But no, I appreciate Frank. Frank's right. Frank also checked in on Jimmy Johnson as well. Not a ton, but I think Tony could absolutely do this. I think it's exciting. I thought about it last year when we had him at the Baseball Writers Dinner. I interviewed him on stage, and I thought this guy has all the makings of a leader at the highest level of baseball. He's great in front of the camera, and that is a big part of the job. How many times have we talked about who could be a great manager? You have to do it all. You have to be able to manage people. You have to be able to be a spokesperson for the team and deal with media. You have to be able to be enthusiastic. Now, you know, he's not going to be able to do some of the things he did at Tennessee with major league players. We just saw with Mike Schilt, there's a balance that you have to play. I'm not saying that Tony was like super demanding or anything, but there's a difference between coaching teenagers and young guys in their,
it's no question about
21
that.
Years old, yeah. To a guy,
and guys who are making
guy who's making $300 million,
right.
You know, it's gonna be like, look, man, look, I got you,
calm down,
yeah, chill. But no, he's I think this is great. I'm excited about it. Albert Pujols is also possibly going to be in the NL West. He is interviewing today with the San Diego Padres. You could have Tony Vitello going up against Albert Pujols, Giants, Padres at some point in the NL West. Albert is a great fit for the Padres. I mean, that is a great choice if he ends up being the choice. I think there will be some others in the running there. And it is year one for him. But you talk about a guy who commands respect. My whole thing always was, if he became manager, we talked about this same thing. If he became manager in St. Louis, my fear would be that it wouldn't go well right away, and the fans here would turn on him.
Well,
it wouldn't be the first time they've gotten upset with him, by the way, when he went to the Angels. But
right.
If they got up, if his legacy was tarnished here in St. Louis because he wasn't a good manager, Yachty too. That would be bad.
You'd get a grace period, but if your team doesn't start winning by, I don't know, middle of the following season, you know, some of that goodwill is going to turn, and I don't know why you would want to do it unless you just like the challenge. You need the challenge. You want to prove it to people that you can do both of these things. If you're Albert and you've made the amount of money he has had in the game, and you have the goodwill that we're talking about with a particular fan base, I just don't know why you'd want to subject yourself to it. I mean, maybe you don't care. Maybe you just feel like, you know, I can do this, and I know I can do this. I know I can win, but I just don't know why you'd want to put yourself in that position. You don't have to.
Now he's going to San Diego, possibly. He's interviewing with the Padres. If he were to get the Padres job with,
and that's a great spot for him. That's a great spot for anybody because the team is stacked right now.
And you got a GM, president of baseball operations, who will wheel
aggressive
and deal. Riverboat gambler.
Yeah.
Ownership that and the place is packed and they're committed to winning World Series. What a great opportunity for a first-year manager of his caliber of person and stature if he were to get the gig. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that interview. He'll knock that interview out of the park. It'll just be a matter of who do they want. But that'll be fun. That'll be fun to see if that goes down.
And so I think that we need to, and we're probably going to have to continue to appeal to Cardinals fans that if it does happen, it is not the worst thing in the world that he's not in the Cardinals dugout. It just isn't. And I know that's going to be a really tough sell for a lot of people because they see that and they think, oh my gosh, he's one of our greats. He could be ours. He could be in our dugout. And I will reiterate this argument that I made last week. And that is just because, and this is a hypothetical, if Albert and or Yadier Molina, maybe both of them, are in the Cardinals dugout in some capacity in 2025, this is not a playoff team. They're not going to the playoffs just because those two guys are there. They are brilliant baseball people, but the Cardinals' issues in 2025 were a matter of roster, a matter of talent, and lack of depth. It is that simple. And if you don't have the horses, I've heard a number of very smart baseball people who were managers and coaches in the major leagues say that exact phrase. You don't have the horses, you're not going to win. And that's what this past season was about. So I think we need to appeal to folks, at least I'm going to appeal to them, that you cannot say that if they had Albert or if they had Yadi, their fortunes would have been a whole lot different because they wouldn't be. I just don't believe that they would have been. I think they have a pretty smart manager right now. And I'm not saying this because he's on with us every week. I'm saying
there are some listeners that feel that way.
Well, that's fine, and they can feel that way and be wrong. I don't mind. But the truth is that he does what a manager I expect them to do, and that is have a rationale. Don't just constantly go by gut feel. Have a process. Stick to your process. Be able to explain your process, even if people don't agree with it, because that means that you're being thoughtful about everything you do. And I think that Oliver Marmol does that. I think he does exactly what a baseball manager should do. Not every player is going to like him, but from most accounts, they do respect him, and that's all you can ask for. Right? And he's got a good coaching staff that's on top of it. I think that people probably don't give enough recognition to that, to the idea that maybe they have a pretty smart manager in the dugout right now, and that this isn't about him, and that this is all about how good the roster is or isn't.
This breaking news again of Tony Vitello going to the San Francisco Giants as their manager. I just, as you were talking, started reading Andrew Baggerly's story in The Athletic. I want to read this. It's really good. It's exactly what you and I just talked about. Vitello, 47, is making the nearly unprecedented jump from a college campus to a major league dugout. He has no professional experience as a player, having transitioned directly into coaching after playing at the University of Missouri. He will have to adjust to the brand new challenges of navigating a 162-game MLB schedule, soothing the egos of multimillionaire players, and managing a roster that is not of his own orchestration. But his magnetism and high motor resonated with Giants president of baseball operations Buster Posey, who isn't too far removed from his own experience as a college baseball standout at Florida State, and whose legendary self-assurance continues to be on full display barely 1 year into his executive tenure. This is going to be fun to watch. The Mizzou made Tony Vitello, the coach and now manager of the San Francisco Giants, leaving Tennessee. We'll talk to Mizzou's Howard Richards coming up in just a moment. We'll talk some football with him at 12:30. Gashouse Gang on KMOX with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Our producers are Matt Pajeski and Frank Ladd. Always great to have the support here in studio. And we have Howard Richards coming up in just a bit to talk some college football. Big game for Mizzou. Absolutely huge game. Feels like a play-in game just to get into the college football playoff discussion. One of them is going to be in. One of them is going to be out. I mean, Vanderbilt wins, they will be considered a college football playoff player. I think if Missouri wins, they're out. And I think if Vanderbilt, I mean, if Missouri loses, they're out. And I think if Vanderbilt loses, they're out.
Very big game. It's cool to have a college game day part of it. Too bad it's not in Columbia. By the way, I think when I was promoting this earlier, I'm feeling right now like I said Howard Griffith.
You did. I heard you on the air. But yeah, it's okay.
Illinois is not even playing.
I know. It's all right. Stupid. Illinois playing Washington. They're the underdogs, actually, at Washington. 23rd ranked Illinois, 5-point dog at Washington. Missouri's a 3-point dog at Vanderbilt, although I saw that line slip to 2.5. That's going to be a heck of a weekend, man. What a Saturday that's going to be for those two
teams.
It's
going to be tough to win on the road.
Yeah, they both play at the same time. Both play at 2:30.
They're always playing at the same time.
I know. The other thing I wanted to bring up was Silver Slugger. We have two Silver Slugger finalists at the Cardinals' utility position. So Alec Burleson and Brendan Donovan are in consideration for that. I think that Burleson's got a shot. I really do. I think Donnie, I love Donnie, but Donnie had kind of he slipped a little bit in the second half after his all-star first half, and plus his injuries were a big part of that and caught up with him. But Burley had a good year all the way through. So who knows?
Yeah, these are a couple of players that we're talking about here that we have been saying, or at least I have been, that the Cardinals haven't done a whole lot of who is this guy type of players, you know, that you look at and think, where did this guy come from? But it kind of feels like they've done that with the two of them, doesn't it? Don't Brendan Donovan and Alec Burleson kind of feel like those typical Cardinals players of the last 20 years, those guys that they just create? Where did this come from? I wasn't expecting this from this guy. Yeah. And they're getting really good production from them. And not that they are stars on the team, because I don't think they're stars, but they are certainly very good role players and supplemental pieces. That's not an insult at all, because every team needs those.
I remember John Mozeliak giving me the heads up early on about Donovan. He said, when you go out to those backfields, you need to go find Brendan Donovan, and he's the one to watch. And he was absolutely right about that. Burleson, I think everybody was keeping an eye on, but he didn't really have that consistency. He was stinging the ball, but it was going right at people. And then finally he broke through, and it was Ollie Marmol who said this past year that Burley has basically put himself in a position to play every day. That he was one of those players that they didn't have to wonder if he was going to deliver each and every day. He had played his way into that conversation of, I am going to be in that lineup every day. And Burley, whatever they asked him to do, be a leader, he helped guide younger players. Be a better fielder, he tried to get a better jump and tried to be a better fielder. He played first base, he hit, he did a lot of great things for him. If something were to happen where you traded Wilson Contreras, doesn't look like it's going to happen, but if it did, Burley's your first baseman. Burley could play in left, Burley could DH. He could play in right. If Walker isn't there, I mean, it's a great pickup. And then, of course, Donovan is, like you said, a gamer. He's an all-around typical Cardinal that is a pain to every other team that you play. So I hope that they hang on to those two. I just don't know the answer to the question, who's a lock for 2026, except for Mason Wynn and obviously some of these younger guys, J.J. Weatherholt, et cetera. I mean, it's going to be wide. I'd say Yvonne Herrera. It sounds like they're putting a lot into him becoming a catcher. You pretty much bank on him being part of the club, but I think it's wide open, man. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. McGreevy, obviously.
That rotation's really fascinating.
You know?
But I mean, you could have...
It's going to be...
You have three different guys on the rotation next year. And by the way, the third finalist for the position, I'm not sure you mentioned it or not, but Jake Cronenworth of the Padres.
Yeah, I just mentioned the Cardinals guys.
Yeah, so the Cardinals have two of the three Silver Sluggers, and so they've got a 66% chance of winning.
That Cronenworth's tough, but I think Burley's got a shot at that. Wow, that'd be kind of cool.
It would be.
Silver Slugger for him. Aaron Dodson says, Bloom better make some moves. Day one, I will be judging. Front office, minor league, or major league coaching does not count. Roster moves, or it's a failure. Boy, Aaron's aggressive, isn't he?
Aaron doesn't care on YouTube.
I like that he watches and contributes, though, so I'm going to put his comments up. Don't care for college football, not on a Cardinals podcast. This isn't a Cardinals podcast, buddy. This is a Aaron sports show.
Come on, Aaron.
Yeah.
Where you get your crap together, man? Yeah. Where you been? We talk everything on this show.
Amy wants to know if Albert will go into the Hall of Fame as a Cardinal. I think that's always a great question. I think the answer is yes on that. Ultimately, that is not his decision. That is actually the Baseball Hall of Fame's call, but they take the players' requests and wishes into account. But ultimately, they make the call. Now, it is possible that he could pull La Russa and go in with no logo, but I doubt it. I think that all of his accomplishments mostly have been with the Cardinals, and therefore, I think he goes in as a Cardinal.
So on that question, how often do you think it happens where a player requests, hey, I'd like to go in as a Cardinal or Padre or whatever, and Major League Baseball, the Hall of Fame says, nah, we're not going to do that. My guess is if they've requested it, they're going to get it, don't you think?
Well, let me paint a scenario for you. I'm not going to bring up any specific player, but let's say this player plays his entire career with the team and then has a falling out with that team and ends up finishing his career, his final 2 years with a team and does nothing and says, that's who I want to go in with.
Has that happened?
Where I finished my final 2 years. I think it may have. I'm trying to remember who it was. And they're like, no.
Well, I mean, that is like,
so that's why the rule is in place that they don't get the say. The Hall of Fame uses its judgment and decides. But yes, I'd say 99% of the time.
The Hall of Fame is saying, yes, you can tell us who you want to go in as, what team. Uh-huh. And you can use any criteria you want. Except for pettiness.
Right.
Pettiness is the only criteria you cannot use. That's all right with that.
Yeah. That's right.
Even though I love petty, I think petty's a lot of fun.
You do?
Well, yeah. It depends.
I get it. Let's also adjust this. We're going to have Howard Richards at 12:45. We've pushed him back 15 minutes. He's a busy man. This is a huge week for everybody on the broadcast. And I know that they're being pulled in a lot of directions. And so, especially with the magnitude of this game, to have Howard do that for us here on a Wednesday is big. So we appreciate that.
You think he's mad because I promoted Howard Griffith instead?
Yes, he is.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He's gonna be upset about that.
ILO.
When you talk to Howard, we got to mention also, I'd like to get his thoughts on just the overall demeanor of Eli Drinkwitz right now. Drink seems a little salty. And it's not just
in general.
Yeah, it's not about it's a lot of things, I should say. It's not about one thing. I think he did not like the way his team played against Auburn, and he won't say it like that he's upset with his team. He's glad they won the game, but he had a laundry list of things that he needed to have cleaned up, and he went through the whole thing yesterday. Also, he said something like, you know, they're not interested in talking to us. When somebody asked about College Game Day yesterday, he's like, what is it? It's in their stadium, right? Or it's on their campus. We won't even be part of that. We're going to go into the locker room. We're going to go out there. We're going to win a game and leave. Like, no, Drank, come on, man. I mean, they just had you on 2 weeks ago
before
the Alabama game walking around. They had you mic'd up walking around for a field, man.
Look, if you got to do the Michael Jordan thing and just create slights against you so that you can be motivated as a team, you do whatever you have to do, but it has to work. You are only allowed to do the Jordan if it works. You're only allowed to create these perceived slights against you, but it has to be successful. Otherwise, you got to drop the act.
I love that guy. I do. And am I concerned that somebody might try to pull him away from Mizzou? Mildly. I think that Mizzou has the juice to be able to keep him. I think he has a lot of power at Mizzou to change this football program and put his stamp on it. And I think that's happening in real time. And I think that's a big thing. I think money is one thing, but if he feels like he can win big and he's the one who helped transform Mizzou football into the next era. Gary Pinkel built an incredible foundation of winning and a winning culture. And now Drink has been fundraising. He's been part of the stadium expansion. He's been part of this NIL collective. He has moved this team into being a winner. Could Florida or somebody else try to move him out of Mizzou? You bet they will.
They'll try.
They're going to give it the old college try. But I'm mildly concerned. I'm not panicking just yet.
Got to pay the man. That's the only thing you can do to keep him around.
That's right.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Back on the Gas House Gang with Chris Ronji. I'm Tom Ackerman. It's Howard Richards, the Mizzou radio analyst, joining us at 12:45 to talk some college football. There's so much going on in sports right now. You have to note a few things. One, let's just go around the horn. The Blues lost 2-1 in overtime last night. They continue to sputter a little bit at home. Jim Montgomery a little bit upset about the practice the day before. He said that he didn't like and doesn't like the way that they play coming out of a practice, out of a win, I should say. He doesn't like the way they practice coming out of a win. And he says that they just need to pay more attention to every detail and do things right.
You know what it sounds like? It's kind of like the tone I got from him is how football coaches feel when they come off a bye week and they have a lousy performance.
Yeah.
It's that same. There's no excuse for that. You had a bye week.
That's right.
You better have all your ducks in a row on a bye week. And that is the exact same feel I got from him when he said that yesterday.
Or a victory, as Nick Saban used to say, the hardest thing to do in football is get your team back to having an edge after they win. He said, you know, after a win, everybody tells you how great you are. You come back to the facility on Monday, and everybody's in a great mood and patting each other on the back, and they just walk out, and he wants them to be on edge, angry, motivated, ready to go for the next opponent. And that is the hardest thing to do, according to him. So I get that.
Maybe Montgomery needs to invent a slight.
Yeah.
He said it's us versus the world.
That's right. Going back to Eli Drinkwitz, and we'll talk to Howard about it, but he was picking apart his team. This is coming from Eli Hoff's story in the Post-Dispatch. He said, there are a lot of things we have to clean up. O-line, tight ends, got to play way more physical. Quarterback's got to continue to improve. Take care of the football in critical situations. Defense, too many explosive runs. Penalties that were undisciplined. Coaching strategy, I need to do a better job at the end of the game. Make sure we get an opportunity to kick a field goal with the ball at the 30. Our team needs to work this week to improve. We have to play with a better pad level, play with better footwork, be better with our second step, be more accurate on throws, be better in pass protection, be better in running back protection. Defense has to take better tracking angles. We can't commit penalties that lead to extended drives. I mean, I was worn out after I read that.
Dude, get your blank together is what he's saying.
Drinkwitz is
lighting
his team. I'm very excited to see how they come out and play. I'll tell you what, if they come out and play like they did in overtime against Auburn, it is going to be a fun game to watch. And this Vanderbilt team, this isn't your dad's or grandpa's Vanderbilt. This Vanderbilt team is the real deal. We're going to talk about it with Howard Richards next on KMOX. Hey, repeating our top story, Mizzou's very own Tony Vitello, DeSmet's very own, and the former coach now at the University of Tennessee, is the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. Here is another Tiger, Max Scherzer, on Vitello taking over. He was Scherzer's pitching coach at Mizzou. Quote, this is from The Athletic, I absolutely believe in him. He's to this day one of my closest friends, and I absolutely believe he's going to get it done at the big league level. That's from Max Scherzer, and it is great to see. It really is. A good baseball man. Coming from, it's unprecedented, never doing anything at the professional level. He's been college all the way through, going from the Volunteers to the Giants. I interviewed him on stage, Chris, at the Baseball Writers Dinner as he received an award from the St. Louis chapter of the Baseball Writers Association of America. And afterwards, as I was walking back to the table with him, he said, hey, man, he's like, I said, I'd love to see your team play. He goes, come on over. We'll take care of you. Come over to Knoxville. You think he'll do that for me in San Francisco? Or?
Yeah, well, I mean, why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Well, does he?
And if the Cardinals are there, that won't be happening.
Will he remember you?
I don't know.
What if he doesn't?
His dad and I are friends, so that's good. So we're going to try to get Tony on the show. But we're very happy for Tony. It's exciting. It's great. A St. Louis kid is going to be a big league manager. Not unprecedented there, that's for sure. But we're very excited for Tony and the San Francisco Giants. Some other things happening we have not mentioned yet. Game one of the World Series this Friday. The pitching matchups are set for that. First of all, you have in game one, at least on the Dodgers side, I know for sure it's already set. And do the Blue Jays have their pitcher in place? No. Blake Snell is the starting pitcher for the Giants in game one. He's 3-0 with a .86 ERA this postseason. Game two, you just have to go through Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He's 2-1 with a 1.83 ERA. They have not gone as far as to announce game three just yet, but 1-2, Chris, you got to go through Snell and Yamamoto. Good luck. However, it is at Rogers Center where the home runs come fast and furious, and they have some absolute bangers in that lineup. In Guerrero and everybody else who can hit the ball a long, long way. It is going to be fun.
And yesterday we were having the parody conversation with Maury Brown, who is a sports business reporter, writer for Forbes. We were talking about that idea, which has been, well, first of all, the idea of a salary cap is nothing new in baseball. People have been arguing for it for a long time. Owners certainly would love to have a salary cap, most of them. Would love to have a salary cap. A lot of fans would like to have one because I think they think tickets would be cheaper if there was a salary cap, and that's just not how it works or is ever going to work. Tickets are what they are because you're willing to pay that money for them. So that's what drives prices. It's not player salary. That's number one. And secondly, I think that the idea that if the Dodgers win, that argument for a salary cap strengthens because other teams will say and other fans will jump on board with this argument. They will say, see, we can't possibly compete. The Dodgers have won. They did it again. How is my team supposed to be able to compete with the resources they have, with them spending $350 million on big league payroll and spending a ton of money at the minor league level? And they do everything well. They do everything well. They spend money well at the big league level. They spend money well at the lower level, and they spend a ton of it. And so my feeling is we should embrace teams like that. We should embrace the fact there's a team willing to do everything right, and they are investing in order to get it done. Now, I don't think the argument for a salary cap is any better just because the Dodgers might end up winning. Maury Brown, when he talked to us yesterday, mentioned the fact that there is a ton of parity in baseball, and he's right. 9 of the last 11 World Series winners have all been different. We have 9 different winners, and it could end up being 10 of 12 if the Blue Jays win. That's a pretty good amount of parity.
It is.
The Dodgers have won a couple, and the Astros have won a couple in the last, 12 years? 11 years? 9 different World Series winners. I think that speaks a lot to parity. However, there are teams at the lower end like the Marlins and the Pirates who just don't compete. But I think that's more about them not investing or trying hard enough than it is anything else.
And he mentioned when it comes to parity, be prepared if you're the Cardinals that you're just not going to be great for every single year like they were for a long time. You have to go up and down. That's true parity, is when you sort of ride the roller coaster. You have your moment of greatness, then you go down a little bit, and then you're back up into relevance. I will say that this is number 2 versus number 5 in baseball in terms of payroll in this World Series. The Blue Jays have the 5th highest payroll at nearly $240 million. The Mets, number 1 at $323. Then the Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Blue Jays, the rest of the top 10, Rangers, Astros, Braves, Padres, Cubs. The only non-playoff teams in that top 10, the Rangers, who ended up making the move. Bochy stepped away, and Skip Schumacher is the new manager. And the Atlanta Braves, Brian Snitker has stepped away after that. And we'll see what ends up happening there in Atlanta, but that's because of injuries, too. They were riddled with injuries. However, they probably make the playoffs if not, I would think. They had a good enough roster if healthy. So still, the top 10 in baseball, you know, money does get you pretty far in this game.
But it gets you point, far.
Why don't you have repeat champions since the Yankees of 1999? Because of the randomness sometimes of baseball, and also the good fortune that you have to have. You have to have good luck.
And yeah, you've mentioned, and we're talking about more recent high payroll teams. The Yankees have been a high payroll team for as long as that's been a thing. They've always spent money. They haven't won a World Series in 16 years. And it's going to be 17 after this season. They haven't won since 2009. The Phillies have not won since 1980. You know, so they spend a
lot. No, they've won.
They've been to a couple of World Series, but they have not.
Yeah, they have.
Oh, they did. They won in 2008. My bad. So they won in 2008. Following year, they went to a World Series. But that's still a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was right before the Yankees won. So it's not like these teams that spend the money are routinely winning World Series. Spending a lot of money helps you get far. It isn't everything, and it doesn't guarantee everything. You've got to do a lot of things well if you're an organization. And the Dodgers aren't just spending a ton of money. If it was about spending ridiculous gobs of money, then the Mets would be winners all the time.
The Cardinals, by the way, are 19th in Major League Baseball for 2025 with a payroll of $141 million, just behind the Twins at 142, Tigers at 143, and the Mariners at 146. So, yes, you can do that. Seattle, 16th highest payroll at 146, not much more than the Cardinals. And, oh, by the way, the Brewers are way behind them at 115.
Mm-hmm.
The 23rd ranked payroll in baseball. And the Reds were 22. They slipped into the playoffs as well.
I'll just say this. It doesn't guarantee you anything if you spend a ton of money. But what it does is it helps you it helps you make up for mistakes that you may have had in drafting or developing or in other bad contracts. You know, maybe you've given a player a bad contract and that player is not working out. Well, you can go get another player and sort of cover up that. So it helps you do that, and it lowers your margin of error. It does not guarantee you anything. You still have to spend well. You still have to draft well. You still have to be smart as an organization. And we say Andrew Friedman is a really smart a general manager, or president of baseball operations. He always has been. He did it with Tampa. He's doing it, obviously, with the Dodgers. He's got a lot to work with. And that's the danger. You give a brilliant guy a bunch of money to work with, and he is going to turn you into a fantastic organization. And that's what Friedman's done.
By the way, the only reason the Dodgers aren't number one is because Shohei Ohtani deferred 68 of his $70 million. That's a lot.
It is.
68 of his $70 million annual salary. That's right. That is more than the Marlins' entire payroll, $67.4 million.
What is the year that he starts? I can't remember off the top of my head where he starts really earning the bulk of it.
I can't remember.
Is it like 2030 or 2040, something like that?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but they would easily be the number one payroll if he was getting full salary, but he is not.
Right, but that money, again, you have to think about, like the Bryce Harper deal, when it was signed at the time, oh my gosh, he's going to be making $27 million a year in 2025. Yeah, that's not very much right now. So, I mean, honestly, is $60 million in baseball terms, $60 million per season, going to be that much money in like 2040?
I don't remember.
Probably not.
Albert Pujols was 10 years, 250. Like, my gosh, this is just insane.
Right.
You can't pay an individual that much money. Wow, yeah. But, you know, that was then and this is now. But still, it's amazing how rapidly it has escalated in terms of player salaries. This will all be discussed. Keep your fingers crossed that 2027 we're playing some baseball, because it is going to get heated. We could do an entire Gas House Gang just on that topic. But for now, we are out of time. We thank you for joining us, as always, our dedicated listeners and viewers of the Gas House Gang. We're sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Make sure you tune in to Rush Hour Sports every day at 5 o'clock. We look forward to having that.
And get the podcast of this show if you missed it.
Oh man, it's a good podcast.
Yeah, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, you don't have to listen to
Odyssey
us. We
app.
Love when you listen to us during lunch.
Wherever you get your podcast, just look for Gas House Gang. We're there. It's
that's
not
a
hard.
Great call.
What's
job.
The problem, man?
There shouldn't be any. Thanks for joining us on KMOX.